Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Ooh, dude.
I grew up like most kids, worried I couldn't bench two plates, that I wouldn't fit in, that I wouldn't find love. Then I discovered partying, and suddenly all those worries went to the wayside. I didn't need love. I had keg stands. I discovered I was great at raging, and it revealed wonderful things about myself. I could relate to bros regardless of what kind of bro they were. I could be at a party and moon people and everyone would laugh, you know, be witty. Or I could play beer pong and compete with real integrity. In short, I fulfilled my potential.
The Nightcap on WGR, Sports Radio 550.
What's up, everybody? The Nightcap, Jody Biasi and Derek Kramer, fresh off the ice.
Hey!
Here at the 11-day power play at Harbor Center. And there's another game going on in front of us, which is nice. Have a little entertainment in front of us. It's not just a computer screen.
It's National Grid, Civil War.
National Grid, two teams are playing against each other. Team WGR, 1-0 in their history.
Yes.
We won, 14-9?
Yes, something like that.
I'm a little little distracted right now because there is a guy on the ice right now that has Quebec Nordiques socks, and they are incredible.
They are amazing.
I kind of want to go down there and just ask him for them right now.
I want to buy them off of him right now.
So the game goes well. The 11-day power play is still going on. You can donate at 11daypowerplay.com. Over $1.2 million raised already, and you can keep that going. You can still volunteer, too, at 11daypowerplay.com. How do you think your time went on the ice?
Dude, it was a blast. And, you know, thank you to everyone for giving us the chance to go out there and play hockey. I mean, thank you to Mike and Amy Lesikowski for organizing this whole thing. Thank you to Alan Davis for including me in this. This was a blast. And I am definitely looking forward to signing us up again for this next year.
And for everybody out there that didn't see the game, which I'm assuming is 99.9% of the people listening right now, when we were joking leading up to this about us being built from the net out, wow, were we built from the net out.
Dude, it was, what was it, the lowest scoring game of the community shift?
Yeah, it was okay.
Nine
goals.
Before
us was, I think, 39-37,
yeah.
Maybe? Like, the goals were in the 30s.
Wacky.
Our game was, like, 14-9.
It was like an actual, like, bar league hockey score for 4 hours.
And
we averaged just over 2 goals against per hour.
Yeah, so Owen
did. That's crazy.
Owen Parker did a great job. Giant goalie son. We had another goalie, too. I don't even remember who he was.
PJ.
He did an incredible job, too.
Name, but PJ did a great job. Giant goalie sudden.
So we were definitely built from the net out.
Redonkulous saves.
We also had 3 coaches throughout the game. So 2 guys were either fired during the midst of that or, I don't know, Brian Mazurowski. We had Paul Hamilton as a coach at one point, Alan Davis. We also had, who was the other coach?
It was
Joe Beamer. From WBN.
Yeah.
And now we're joined, maybe.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, I'm here.
By Ryan Gates.
Hello.
First return to the Nightcap.
This is my first return to the Nightcap.
Oh, my God, it is.
Did you think it was going to happen here?
I just so happened to be here, so I didn't, like, have to, like, drive anywhere to go be on the radio. I just showed up. So it was really, it was fate.
And
it was fate.
For those listening, because this is radio, Ryan has got battle scars on his face.
He's got a shiner. He's got a little shiner right on the nose.
Is it a shiner or is it just a cut? Because
no,
what's the difference between a shiner and a cut?
Shiner is like a bruise around your eye.
Yeah, you got
it's more
color.
Of the black and blue mark.
That's not a shiner. Oh, that's a cut.
I think it's just a
cut. No, that's a cut, but there's some bruising forming around.
Whatever. So. It probably looks pretty badass.
It does.
I'm cool with it.
Ryan took
almost lost an eye, but whatever. Yeah.
Another inch to the left or to your right or whatever you want
to say. Which is interesting because when I was in eighth grade, I was standing at my locker and someone threw a glow stick up in the air. And it came down and it landed directly in my right eye. And if it would have happened years later that I took a high stick to the eye and I actually lost my vision, it would have been like full circle.
Wait. Was the glow stick like leaking or something?
No. It was just flying through the air and just hit me directly in the eye.
Was it the side that like...
I don't know.
To put the lanyard on? Because that's like that would be something a little sharper and more irritating.
I didn't even know what it was, to be honest. I was blinded.
It hit your eye. You were upset.
I was blinded, and apparently this can happen to your eyeball. I didn't know until I got a glow stick thrown in my eye when I was in eighth grade. But you throw a glow stick in the air, or probably, you know, any flying object that comes and hits you directly in the eyeball, it can stretch your iris.
Oh,
that's something that can legitimately happen.
That's a thing.
Yeah, so apparently my iris was stretched, and I was nearly blinded, and I had to wear goggles while playing baseball, and it was terrible. It was absolutely terrible.
You rocked the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar of baseball?
Yeah, except I bought, you know, obviously, like, the $15 pair of Rec Specs, not the cool, badass version.
Or did you get...
Because Rec Specs are the ones that you get when you need prescription glasses. I just was wearing goggles. They're just goggles.
Yeah, no. In addition to Ryan's nice little cut and bruising forming around the nose there, he had probably, I would say, the filthiest goal of the team this afternoon.
You know, it's one in a million. I've been working on that move a million times, and it finally worked.
Paul Hamilton told you, go coast to coast.
I know. Was he even here to see it? Because he did tell me to go coast to coast, and then I finally did it, and nothing ended up happening.
Oh,
so
you know what's going to end up happening. Ryan's going to figure out that these games are saved at the 11-day Power Play website, and then he's going to find the goal, and he's going to make a GIF of it, or he's going to cut it out, and he's going to
make it
his pinned tweet on Twitter.
Honestly, I might do that with one of mine.
So we also played Lancaster.
We could, yeah. Teachers and friends of Lancaster.
How'd you think the competition was?
It was,
I thought it was pretty good. I thought it was pretty good. I mean, we had been doing our training shifts for a little while, and definitely this is another team that was in the 11-day power play. I don't know what that team's name was, but they were better when we were doing our training shifts.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed the fact that we played higher competition. But I thought it was that first period, even though we outscored them 4-0, and then the second period they came back and, you know, we were up 4-0. They bounced back and had a 5-4 lead at one point. So
we came out though and hit them right.
Oh,
in the mouth.
We came out with that fast start there. And
let's give credit where credit's due. Giant goalie Sun and other goalie that I did
PJ.
Not PJ. Those guys were unbelievable.
Right
those
before
guys
you,
were so good.
Right before you came on, we were talking about how we were definitely built from the net out.
Yes. Yeah. We were, if it weren't for those guys, we might have lost.
How do you think our Corsi number was today?
Not great.
It was fairly even. Especially that third period we rocked it. We ratcheted it up.
Oh, that second one. That second hour, that was a bad Corsi rating.
This guy's got the artist. This guy's got the artist Herbe pads going on over here to our left.
And
he doesn't have the artist Herbe mask, unfortunately, with the hanging neck protector.
Yeah, you got to complete the getup. If you're gonna have the Herbe pads, you got to have the weird
it
helmet.
Looks good.
I don't even know why. It's a Jofa helmet with a weird cage and a neck protector.
You got a midair bat goal there.
What do you think about these two teams out here? You think this would have been some stiffer competition?
I find it very hard to judge.
It's a lot more lax than our game was. It was pretty high tempo the whole time.
These guys are much more.
Yeah, these guys are a lot more lax with everything. They're letting things happen. You know, we had to earn everything.
So you can still donate, by the way, as I mentioned, 11daypowerplay.com. They're over $1.2 million already. You can continue to donate until the tournament's over, and then I assume there's an end date at some point.
How do you like the band across the way? So you got a radio show on one side, and directly across the way you have a band on the other side. And it's nice for the band because, you know, no one's – I hate to tell the band. No one's really here for the band. Are you here for the 11-day power play? Yeah, I'm sure, because if there's people here for the band, I'm assuming they'd be standing in front of the band.
They'd be crowding the
band.
And
that side of the bleachers is empty.
Why would anybody be on that side of the bleachers if you're coming?
See anyone rocking over here? See anyone rocking? No, they're all sitting down.
The side in front of us. If you've ever been to Harbor Center, excuse me, you can picture we're on the side with all the windows, and then across the way is where the band is. Why would you sit on that side? On this side, you can sit. You can see the game, and you can see the band.
Okay, you make a very valid point.
It is a good counter
point
there.
That's it. I've got nothing. I've got no comeback to that. That's actually a really good point.
How did you enjoy this entire experience? The practices, the game, the fundraising?
Honestly, I loved it. I wish that we would have had more practices, to be honest, because I just love being in the locker room. I love hanging out, playing hockey. I mean, you can't get much better than it was 4 hours today, and then that last hour, I don't know about you guys, but in that last hour, I really started cramping up. I thought I was good after the third hour, but that fourth hour, I started cramping up. I started chugging Gatorade. I ate one of those nice vitamin chews that the one guy on our team, Kevin Kearns, brought with him, and I started to feel a little bit better. I just think about the guys who did it last year. And how ridiculous it was. And I know they trained really hard for it, particularly in this building over at the Impact facility. And they trained really hard for 6 to 8 months for it. But, I mean, 4 hours on,
twice
8 hours
a day
off,
with this. Twice
4
a day.
Hours on, like 4 hours off, 4 hours on, just over and over and over and over again. And we had, 14, 15 guys out there with us?
Yes.
They had six. They had six per shift. Per four-hour shift, they had six guys, and there was only one sub on the bench, and they would be rotating in. Just incredible.
Those guys were absolute warriors, and I found out today that I always assumed they were just up in the hotel that's connected here. They were off in the back room.
Yeah.
They were sleeping on, like, wooden boards.
Yeah, they were sleeping on benches in the locker rooms.
I assume they had sleeping bags or something.
Yeah, they were sleeping on benches in locker rooms, which, I mean, they are nice benches because it's a very state-of-the-art facility, but
great locker rooms.
But at the same time, it's not a bed. It's not a bed. I don't know how that happens.
We definitely did have some good culture in the room. You definitely make a good point there. And that was led by our captain, Bulldog.
Yeah, Bulldog was a fine captain. He wasn't really much
fine captain.
He
wasn't the vocal rah-rah guy.
Yeah, the vocal. He wasn't a vocal captain. He was a lead by example kind of guy.
What was that example?
The example of
screaming as he's charging someone.
a guy was in front of the net. He was starting to get a little physical, and Bulldog came in. Bulldog came in and cleaned up the mess. You know, that's what you want to see out of your captain. Captain doesn't always got to be the most talented guy on the team. I know Jack Eichel is probably going to be the captain of the Buffalo Sabres, and at least for the time being, he's probably the most talented guy on the team until Rasmus Dahlin comes into his own a little bit. And then maybe there's an argument there.
What was the word you used for Eichel being captain? Probably?
Yeah, probably.
Because I find it so strange that they went out and they allowed people to come down and get the jerseys on Monday with the number 9, and they did not have the C on them.
That's true.
You already have people coming down there to switch the number. Are you going to have people come down there again?
Switch the number. They just you got a discount on the jersey. So,
right.
I mean, I figure that if there's a C,
so are they going to get another credit?
No, it's not going to get a credit. Someone's just going to sew a C on it, right? Should that? Well, you pay $20 maybe, and you get a C on it. It's just another way for the Sabres to make money. They paid $20 to get a C on your jersey.
This guy's tripped over the puck.
He just tripped over the puck.
So do you think I'm making too much of this then? That could mean maybe they go another season with 3 A's?
I mean,
I just find it strange that they didn't just announce it.
I would not be surprised by that.
I mean,
but
they did kind of scramble with this
whole
thing.
But to me, with the idea of trading O'Reilly and with the return for that, I thought it was a pretty good return, but it wasn't one of those trades. It wasn't that blew you away in the return. It was a good return. I think it was a good trade for the Blues. I think it was a pretty good trade for the Sabres, too. I don't think there's a winner or a loser yet. But I think one of the major reasons for the trade, and, I mean, I have no inside info on this, is I think there was some sort of schism in the locker room where there was factions of people, players who supported Ryan O'Reilly as the quote-unquote leader, and people who started supporting Jack Eichel as the leader.
The ROR party and the Jack party?
Yeah, and we talked about it over the course of the season that, you know, there wasn't any fist-pounding going on after goals or Ryan O'Reilly skating off the ice and he's refusing to touch hands with Jack Eichel. That was something that we talked about here, and I thought that was a little bit overblown, but I do believe that there was some sort of, like I said, schism is the word that I kind of come up with. Factions is another good word for it. But I think there was people supporting the Ryan O'Reilly style of leadership, and there was people supporting the Jack Eichel style of leadership. And I think you, one of the reasons you make the trade is obviously you have to have a shakeup. But I think it's a sign to the team that, you know what, this is Jack Eichel's team now. It's not anyone else's team. He is now the leader. He changes his number. You know what? They're turning the page. They're turning the page from the first 3 years of Eichel. He's making $10 million. You make him the captain. He changes his number. It's a new era. It's a new era with the Sabres. That's how I view it.
You can get in on this if you want. 803-0550 is the phone number. I wonder almost more about if they don't give it to him. Because to me, that will say more than if they give it to him. Because I think people are expecting that, that he's going to be captain one day. So what does it say if he's still wearing an A when the next season starts? Are there going to be questions about, okay, what's wrong? Is this guy really not leadership material? Are they waiting for Dahlin to come up so maybe they can do co-captains like they did with Breer and Drury? I also wonder how important it is anyway. I mean, the Toronto Maple Leafs have been a great
team
for 2 years.
Who's going to be the captain there?
That's a better question.
Like, you're bringing in Tavares, and I mean, you have Matthews there, obviously.
It's got to be co-captains, right?
Co-captains, maybe. You know who I think should temporarily be captain? Patrick Marleau. Slap the C on him. Patrick Marleau for the next 2 years. And then you get to decide. Then you get to decide who's going to be captain.
Did he ever even wear the C in San Jose?
Yeah, they took it away from him and gave it to Joe Thornton. He was wearing the C.
And then...
And, like, for a few years, Marleau was the captain, and then they brought Thornton in, and he was the captain, and then they stripped Marleau of the C and gave it to Thornton.
And then they stripped Thornton of the C and gave it to Pavelski.
Yeah.
And soon they're going to strip Pavelski of the C, and they're going
to
give it
to
Logan
Couture.
Evander Kane. That would be funnier. That would definitely be funnier.
That would actually be pretty good.
They don't have to strip Pavelski of it. He's only got 1 year left on his contract.
Does it say anything to you about the team not having a captain, though? Because I'm never that guy that's like, oh, you
not
need a captain.
Really.
You need a guy in the room.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really care if they don't have a captain, but I think it will be interesting to talk about why Jack Eichel doesn't have it if the season starts. I think it's more on Eichel. I truly, most of the time, don't really care if you have a captain or not.
I don't think it's that important, and I think especially now in the NHL, for the most part, you get that type of player like an Eichel. And it's more so just expected that he is going to be the captain, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Connor McDavid was captain when he was 19. Sidney Crosby ends up being captain. Alex Ovechkin ends up being captain.
Stamkos.
Tavares.
Is McKinnon captain yet?
Landeskog.
Because he got it super young, too.
Yeah. Landeskog's a much better player. But that would have been like if a few years ago the Sabres decided to slap the C on Zemgus Girgensons.
Which we were all talking about 2 years ago.
I loved the idea. I'm like, he's going to be the perfect third line. He's going to be your David Backus.
Could you imagine if they just gave him Zemgus the captaincy now?
Oh my
and
God.
Everybody would be super upset, and then the Sabres would be like, you guys all wanted it a couple years ago.
Honestly, that would be the
troll
most,
job.
That would be a pretty job. Egregious, quite frankly, just decision there. I don't think that we've got anything there to really worry about. I think that Eichel eventually gets named the captain in this, and honestly, that whole jersey situation, the fact that they're selling these jerseys without the C, I think that's more or less what I suspected originally, Joe, when we were talking about this last week, which is I think they fumbled the whole situation.
But what about the fact that he comes out with the Instagram picture, it's only the back? He doesn't do the classic two-tiered Instagram photo where there's one picture and he's got the other picture, it doesn't reveal. Maybe that's the reason why, because there wasn't a C on it, and they didn't want to reveal that he wasn't captain yet. I don't know. I just think you don't really announce a captain in the middle of the summer, right? You're going to training camp.
That's a good point, yeah.
You go into training camp, and then you probably announce the captain. Maybe it's a signal to him, like, okay, guys, or okay, Jack, we need you to come into training camp and really be the leader that we are expecting you to be. And if you are that guy, we'll reward you with the captaincy.
Ooh, nice hit by the ref.
803-0550 is the number. Joe DiBiase, Ryan Gates, and Derek Kramer were live from Harbor Center at the 11-day power play. What did you think of him changing his number? Jack, of course.
I mean, I get it. I view it in two different ways. I view it from the fan perspective, and from the fan perspective, I think it sucks. people have so many number 15 Jack Eichel jerseys, and I get the sentiment out there.
Yeah.
That's like, okay, that's a cool treasure to kind of have, that you were there from the beginning with Jack and you have that number 15 jersey. But jerseys are expensive. Jerseys are super expensive, yeah. And I'm not about making people pay more money for it.
But the counterpoint I would have to that is you don't have to buy another one.
You don't.
You're right. You're not getting your arm twisted because you have the Eichel 15, which is the original Eichel jersey.
The OE.
What about the guy who bought a Jack Eichel jersey, or the mom who bought anybody who bought a Jack Eichel jersey last Thursday?
Yeah.
Or whatever it was, the Thursday before. Like, there had to be people out there, right, that bought Jack Eichel jerseys, like,
certainly,
days before he changed his number?
Well, they take it off the NHL.com store,
sure,
days beforehand? Did they do that?
I don't know if they did that. I know there was one guy who called in when it happened that said he had bought one the night before. So,
I would be so angry. I'd be going back with my receipt. I need to speak with your manager.
Yeah.
I'm not that guy. I wouldn't be that guy if that happened to me. I'm not that guy, but I would be that guy.
I don't know that I've ever said I'd like to speak with your manager, and I'm pretty sure I'm the type of person I don't think I'm ever going to say that in my entire life.
As a consumer, I just take the L. It's whatever. Because, you know, I've been on the other side of that where it's just like, you know, you work in retail as a kid, and it's just like, ugh.
It's
so wrong.
Who's playing Canal side tonight?
I don't know. Oh, I know this. Arrested Development.
What?
Oh, okay.
Not a
the
thrall.
TV show?
No, I wish
yeah,
it was
no,
the
it
cast.
Is, it's
of
Jason
TV
Bateman
show.
And, yeah. It's,
Michael Cera?
Michael Cera. They're just up there talking about
yeah,
this.
I could
whether
see
Jack Eichel should be the captain.
I could see the recency bias in this and that, how it could be something that could upset you if you bought it literally one day before. I think it just pulls into the theory that I had last week of, they botched this because it wasn't supposed to happen. If Eichel covers the number on his helmet, it's over. We don't have this discussion right
to
now.
To be honest, even if he covers the number, don't we all know he's changing?
I mean,
why send that out?
Cover the number out. What are you talking about?
On the back of the helmet.
Why
that's
send
how
out,
it got released.
Why
and that's why the post got deleted.
But why send out the Instagram
yeah.
post at all then? If Sam Reinhardt came out tomorrow and posted, well, maybe
it's
not.
A botch job.
Right, let's assume that
it's
Eichel hadn't
job.
Done it.
That's what I think it is.
Because he could be making fun of Eichel if he did this now. But let's say Eichel didn't change his number. There was nothing like that. And Sam Reinhardt posts on Instagram a picture of himself with the jersey, and he's got the number covered up by an emoji, and he's got the number in the back of his helmet covered up by an emoji. Would we not just kind of think that Sam Reinhardt might be about to change his number, and then you don't buy a jersey of
maybe.
Sam Reinhardt?
I don't know. Does anyone care if Sam Reinhardt changes his number?
He's going to change it to 15.
That'd be hilarious. But the other side of it for me is, okay, so I think about it from Jack Eichel's perspective, and he had a bunch of different numbers that he wore, but he probably had his greatest success when he was wearing number 9 with BU, and he gets to the national championship game, doesn't win it, but he's a freshman who wins the Hobie Baker, gets to the national championship game in the highest level of his sport that he could possibly play at that time, and then he goes and he gets number 15 because Evander Kane's here. So for him, it could be almost a psychological thing, a turn the page on the first 3 years kind of thing, where he thinks, okay, I've had my greatest success when I've been wearing the number 9. And what do I want out of my career in Buffalo? I want to be an extremely successful player that's playing in the playoffs and playing for championships. And I don't know, players care about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I loved the number 7. I always wanted to wear the number 7. And then when I was in high school, I couldn't get the number 7 when I was a junior playing baseball, so I picked the number 34 because it added up to 7. The only reason I picked the number was because it added up to 7. So players do stupid stuff like that.
Why
would
they have their number? They have their favorite
number. Why wouldn't
numbers?
You pick 77?
77
because it was sevens.
It was we didn't have a you couldn't choose your own number. Okay, there was designated
cool
numbers.
You just told me you chose 34.
That was one of the selections I had. I grew up in North Collins, Joe. We didn't get brand new jerseys every year. Okay, they came around about every 5 years or so. We didn't get to keep our jerseys. You had to give those things back. So I got 34.
All right, man. Thanks for being on.
Does
this feel like the nightcap?
Kind of. I think it brings back memories. And I got to be honest. So the reason I'm only staying for this 25 minutes, so what do you guys think I'm
going to
be doing after this?
I think I have a good – this guy's wearing a Jofa helmet out here. I think I know.
What's that?
You're going to Canal side.
I am not going to Canal Side.
Well, that's the easy bet, and we both lost.
All right, I'm driving down to Mickey Rats, and I'm playing in a beach volleyball game.
Oh, that's
after doing this?
Yeah.
Wow, he is not.
You know, I would ask if there's something wrong with you, but I already know that answer.
Good luck to anyone that's got to play with Ryan tonight at beach volleyball.
They suck anyways, so it's... There's a reason why they're asking me to be a part of the team after playing a four-hour hockey game.
You've got
and that's
the
because they suck anyways.
All right, man, go play volleyball.
All right, later, guys.
All right,
later.
All right.
Love you, everyone.
This is the Nightcap. We'll be right back after this break. Jody Biasi and Derek Kramer live from Harbor Center. You're listening to WGR. Welcome back to the Nightcap. Jody Biasi and Derek Kramer. Ryan Gates has left us because he's going to play beach volleyball at Mickey Rats, which is
so
actually
crazy.
Pretty cool, and that's
certifiably insane.
It's going to be tough. How's volleyball's gonna... a lot of jumping. I don't know if I could jump right now.
A lot
if I
of jumping and some driving. Running. In sand, which is resistant. Like, it's not as easy to run in sand.
Yep.
Oh, my God. What is he thinking?
803-0550 is the phone number. We're talking a little bit about the captaincy, and not just with the Sabres, the Leafs too, because they're interesting. They got Tavares and Austin Matthews. Like, what do they do there? I would think co-captains.
And veteran Patrick Marleau too, so.
Yeah. Anything else happened today? I mean, we were playing hockey for pretty much the entire
day.
Been so.
Under we've been the equivalent of under a rock today.
I did see that Marian Hossa got traded.
Really? Oh, the contract of Marian Hossa.
Right. He will team up with Pavel Datsyuk on a cap-friendly super team. I don't even know if Datsyuk's contract's still going for the Coyotes. But they traded for that contract. Now they're trading for Hossa's.
Sure.
There's like six other players in the deal, including Marcus Kruger, who's going back to Chicago. The Blackhawks, man, they just – I don't know what they're doing. They're
trying to escape cap hell.
Right, but they are doing
it's
it by
so
bringing
bad.
In players they've already had that they know are kind of past their primes. They did it with Patrick Sharp. They brought him back. They're doing it with Marcus Kruger. They brought him back.
If they can't get rid of that Brent Seabrook albatross,
Brandon Saad,
Brandon Saad. If they can't get rid of that Seabrook albatross, it doesn't matter. So, I mean, Chicago looks like they might just be in a big problem spot for a long time now. And was it worth it? They got a bunch of cups for it. Yeah, sure, why not? But again, it's gonna be rough and the current going.
Mike Schoep brought up an interesting question last week. Would you say that Sabres will be better than the Blackhawks this season?
I would actually take that stretch. I would say they could be.
It completely depends on goaltending for Chicago because their team is not elite anymore, so they kind of need Crawford to be healthy and playing well.
Yeah,
and
with Crawford
he didn't
not
really
healthy.
Yeah, he played fine last year, but he wasn't.
Yeah.
He was not healthy the whole season.
Yeah. He was great last year when he played, and they needed that.
And they probably could have used a solid backup goalie, but they signed Cam Warren, so.
Yeah,
That'll be funny.
That's like a 2-14 record.
And they signed
you.
Chris Kunitz.
Awesome.
Glue guy.
Awesome.
803-0550 is the phone number. You can talk about anything really right now. We're kind of open to it all.
We're hanging out at Harbor Center.
I haven't been thinking about what to talk about today because I was playing 4 hours of hockey here. So whatever you want to talk about. Let's start the segment off with Mike in Lockport. Mike, what's going on?
Good evening, Ryan. I'm actually really happy with the trade. I was on with you guys last week, I believe. Before the O'Reilly trade came down. I think it's a wonderful haul back what Botterill got. I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to say the Sabres will be better than the Blackhawks. Look at their goalies. Look at the entire roster. I'm going to go out on a limb and say the Sabres are going to make the playoffs and Blackhawks are going to be out of the playoffs, honestly.
Mike, thanks for the call. I do think it's interesting to talk about Chicago and what they're looking like going forward. And really, when you're looking at the Sabres, on the short term, sure, there's an argument to be made they could be better. The argument I would probably make against it is that the Sabres division is insanely good, at the top at least. But when you're looking at how Chicago's aged, like that was as close as you're going to get to a dynasty in the NHL nowadays. They won, what, 3 cups in 6 years?
Yes.
Jonathan Toews, Patrick Kane, Duncan Keith, superstar players. Brent Seabrook, who was an all-star level player in his prime. Corey Crawford was a great goaltender. Brian Campbell was an all-star defenseman. They had all-stars or elite players all over the place. And to me, what the Sabres are building right now,
which is front-loaded at the moment with Rasmus Dahlin, Jack Eichel, and Casey Mittelstadt. Look at what else is being built around them. You kind of want to do it how Chicago did early, because when Chicago was doing it early on, they were bringing in cheap contracts, rookies, guys just called up from the AHL that were producing, and they were producing because they were in roles that they could thrive in. And they weren't signing big-name free agents. They weren't going after Zach Parise when he was in free agency. They weren't doing that. They were building from within to complement their superstars. And to me, what the Sabres have been doing has been the opposite. They've been trying to acquire players that they didn't bring up in the organization to be their star players, like when they signed Matt Molson free agency, when they signed even Kyle Opozo in free agency. Before, it was Christian Ehrhoff, Robin Regier, Ville Juhlino. Now, this might be the first time we can actually see what happens here in Buffalo when you do it that way, the way Chicago did it. When you have superstar players, and then suddenly, you don't have to talk about signing the biggest free agent out there, because you've already got three guys you're going to be paying $10 million. They're going to be incredible players. And you don't have to worry about signing those guys.
And it's funny. When the tank originally happened, we were thinking, everyone was saying to each other here, hey, they're going to do it like Chicago. They're going to do it like Pittsburgh, where you rely on those, you know, drafted youths that are playing in the AHL to help roll things along, but you've got that core. And now we're actually seeing that vision coming to fruition, which kind of, you know, again, makes me wonder what Tim Murray was thinking sometimes. Because, you know, that's what we were all thinking when the tank started, was, okay, they're going to do this like Pittsburgh, like Chicago. They're going to develop their, they're going to get their core from the top of the draft, and then they're going to bring these young guys in slower on the AHL basis and everything like that. Between the mishandling of the AHL and then also, you know, going and making those big-time free agent signings like a Kyle Opozo, you end up questioning what was going on there in the first place.
You know, I didn't anticipate us talking about hockey tonight, but I think that's just kind of what happens when you're standing in, or you're sitting in front of a rink here.
Yeah, you're watching hockey in front of your eyes. I'm pretty sure it's a natural thing to just have hockey on the mind, especially after we just played, and you know, we're all. I know you and I, we're feeling good. Gates said something about cramps, dude. I'm older than Gates, and I'm feeling fresh.
Now, I'm the complete opposite. I take a while to warm up, but then once I'm going, there's no stopping. Like, I don't get cramps almost ever. I think I've got it, like, twice in my entire life. I rarely end up getting tired. I just kind of, once I hit my second wind, like, it's over. Like, I could just go forever. Yeah. And it's, like, that's the opposite for most people. Like, Brayton, for instance, Brayton, I thought, did a had tons of energy in the first
Brayton brought it right
first
away.
Half, and then you can kind of
burned
start
out,
feeling it at the end.
Yeah,
like, that's the opposite for me. I felt kind of burned out at the beginning,
ended up cramping too.
And then I'm like, all right, I'm going, I'm ready. And then like midway point, I'm like, all right, I can go for the next. I could do another one later.
Yeah, I would.
I don't want to.
Honestly, if someone asked me in a couple of days, hey, do you want to skate? I'd be like, yeah, why not? This
I might
was
think
fun.
Twice. I would want to do it, but then again, I would probably take into account that I'm already going to be probably very sore tomorrow,
gonna,
and that's just going to amplify it.
Tomorrow is just going to be a coast day.
I cannot believe that those guys that did it last year twice
they
a
did
day
it
for 11
days,
22 shifts.
What are you? Oh my God,
that's incredible.
That is a warrior. That is a warrior.
803-0550. What do you think happens in Toronto? Co-captains?
I remember I was thinking that whatever team John Tavares signs with, he's the captain. And that might be the case here. You know, it continues that whole thing, like his vision of, you know, living out his boyhood dream of playing for the Maple Leafs. And I'd honestly say he's probably the best all-around player that they have. Auston Matthews can score goals. And he's definitely stronger in that sense.
I do think Matthews is a little underrated, though, in his defensive ability. He's very good in the neutral zone. He's good in his own end. He doesn't necessarily get the credit for it because he's such a sniper.
Yeah.
Like, the same way Sidney Crosby never wins the Selke Trophy.
Right.
He should probably win it every year. He's the league's best defensive forward, but it's almost like he's too good offensively to win the Selke. You can't give the Selke to a guy who's getting 100 points, can you? Like, that would feel weird. That's what the MVP is going to win.
Exactly.
So, I do think Matthews is a little underrated in that area. I don't know. I wonder if they just give it to Tavares.
I think so, too.
I'm sure that was discussed in the meeting. You think it was?
Might have been. Probably.
Maybe no one gets to see.
Had to have been.
Maybe
had
no one gets
to have been discussed.
What's more likely? Co-captains there? Who? what's more likely to happen? Co-captains there or co-captains here down the road? You think Dahlin could ever get a C in his jersey with Eichel if he gets it?
No. No. I think he's just here too late.
Okay. It is Eichel's team.
Yeah, it's Eichel's team, and Dahlin is riding shotgun in the most talented way possible.
Eichel went through the suffering.
Yes, Eichel went through the suffering. We end up with Dahlin because of it, and yeah, I think, I would say the more likely scenario would be co-captains in Toronto rather than Buffalo at this point. I also could suspect and not be surprised if the Sabres have another year without a captain.
803-0550 is the phone number. I'm sure earlier today in the station was probably spent a lot on LeSean McCoy. As far as I know, there haven't been any major developments.
No, there hasn't really been much of anything yet. And really, we have to wait until the facts are there. Of course you want to make sure, of course you want to wish that this didn't happen.
I do see something from Mike Pechenik, who is from News 2 in Atlanta. He did tweet 6 hours ago, "Lawyer for LeSean McCoy's ex-girlfriend told me today Delisha Corden has never accused McCoy of domestic violence, and she can't speak to what Corden's friend posted on Instagram earlier this week." I mean, that could just mean, like, they when they strongly implied it in their statement a couple nights ago, that they think maybe he just set it up. It's not looking good, though.
No, and again, you want to, of course, hope that nothing actually happened in this instance. However, you have to obviously wait until all the facts are out there. Don't go blindly judging one way or the other. Just unfortunately, you gotta wait, and that's how it's gotta be in this kind of a case, because you need the facts to be out there.
I know you guys were on the ice for you know, the majority of the middle of the day. There have been some releasing of police reports that have gone on that show that there has been police presence at McCoy's residence there in Georgia for domestic disputes, though every time the police came, there hadn't been any accusations of violence by either side, though McCoy did make it a point to note that he was afraid of potential false allegations. So that's just something to keep in mind that's kind of leaked through the news cycle throughout the day.
I'm also reading something from Mike Garofalo here. Milton police released reports today. This is from a couple hours ago. Three times they were called LeSean McCoy's residence. None involved physical violence, like you just said there, Nick. This one from last July indicates McCoy was concerned that Corden... Oh, this is the exact same thing you just said.
Yeah, yeah. No, and really, to me, what that says to me, it does nothing for me either way. I'm still going to wait until there's actually evidence or something in court or anything else of the sort. I'm going to wait until everything is out there. And that's how you have to treat these scenarios. And, again, obviously you want to hope that that's something that hasn't happened. Not because of the Bills either, because the Bills would be without their best player on offense. No, I just want to take in solace that there's one less dirtbag out there.
To me, I agree. You can't make a judgment on him until we absolutely know the facts. I've been saying it for a couple days now, and it's still in that mode. But I have been talking about what this team looks like. Do they lose any wins if LeSean McCoy is suspended?
Yes.
Beginning of the season?
Yes.
And do you think yes?
Yes. If we were talking strictly a football standpoint, and I don't even want to think about that in this case, but if we're talking a strictly football sound point here, absolutely the Bills probably are 2 or 3 wins out.
Yeah, I can't see this team being good at all if he's not on the field. They have no offensive weapons to speak of that are not named Kelvin Benjamin or Charles Clay. That I trust. 803-0550 is the phone number. We'll take a break here. We'll wrap up the first hour. Next hour, we're going to hear from Lorenzo Alexander, who's on One Bills Live earlier today, and Luke Tasker, CFLer, son of Steve Tasker.
Oh, and
CFL's going on right now, too. No Manziel yet. I'm waiting for him. Once he gets named the starter, I want to go see a game there in Hamilton. But he needs to win that job first.
Yeah. And we just had Ryan Gates on, old friend now of WGR. And who else are we hearing
from? He's a part-timer.
Yeah. But I'm saying, like, you know, for the most part, you know, it's a small blast from the past. We got another blast from the past as well. Matthew Collar joined Howard and Jeremy today. Are we hearing from him?
No, we're just going to do Lorenzo and Luke Tasker. It's all right.
All right. No, I'm sad.
We'll take a break here, and we'll come back on the other side. It's the Nightcap, Jody Biasi and Derek Kramer, live from Harbor Center at the 11-day Power Play. You're listening to WGR. Welcome back to Harbor Center, the 11-day Power Play. It's the Nightcap, Jody Biasi here on WGR. Luke Tasker, welcome back to Harbor Center. The Nightcap, Jody Biasi here at the 11-day Power Play. to hear more from Lorenzo Alexander, who joined One Bills Live earlier today here on WGR. All right, that's going to do it from us down at the Harbor Center. Jody Biasi, thanks to Derek Kramer. Thanks to Ryan Gates, making his first return to the Nightcap. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll be back tomorrow, 7 to 9, right here on WGR. There he is, Luke Tasker, CFLer, son of Steve Tasker. If you missed any portion of that, it's on demand at WGR550.com. Let's take a break here, and then when we come back, we'll hear from Bills linebacker Lorenzo Alexander, who was also on One Bills Live today. We'll bring that to you next. It's the Nightcap with Jody Biasi right here on WGR. Welcome back to the Nightcap. Jody Biasi here at Harbor Center on WGR. The band started playing again. The National Grid teams are off the ice. They're at intermission. They're halfway through. Not doing anything. Concert going on Canal Side. There's hockey here in the Harbor Center. There's a rink, or there's a band in the Harbor Center. It's a good time. 803-0550 is the phone number if you want to talk about anything, pretty much. I'm wide open to any thoughts you might have. You could talk about tennis if you wanted. And I'm not going to be able to give you much other than... I'm not even going to try. I can't give you much. Something interesting just came across my timeline on Twitter from earlier today. Bruce Feldman, with his college football freaks list, had Tyree Jackson on there. Quarterback from the University at Buffalo. Nick's a big college football guy, so I want to get his thoughts on this as well. But Bruce Feldman writes, Tyree Jackson has a big arm and has been clocked in the 4.5s in the 40, despite being 6'7", 245. Can he really do that? That's insane. Brad Ryder, who you might have heard on Monday and last week Thursday, was on our station. And big UB guy, he works on the broadcast, doing pregame, halftime, chiming in as the third voice there on the broadcast. And he's talking about Tyree, potentially, if everything goes perfect, being the number one overall pick in the NFL draft, a UB quarterback, and maybe UB being an undefeated team. Nick, you're a big college football fan. Which one, are those both crazy, and which one would be more likely?
The one that's most likely is UB to go undefeated.
Really? Like, I thought you were going to say the other one. Okay.
No. I mean, it's far more likely for UB to go undefeated, only because, like, every year in college football, you get, like, that one mid to low-tier school in a lesser conference, like UB's, really, and they'll put together an 11-1, a 12-0. They'll get their New Year's Six berth against, like, you know, Wisconsin or something in the Cotton Bowl, like Western Michigan did a few years back. And, like, that happens from time to time across these, like, smaller conferences. Whereas Tyree Jackson going first overall, he's going to have to overcome a lot of things for that to happen, including the small school tag. Like, part of that also hurt Josh Allen when he was coming out, even though he somehow still managed to go 10th after passing for 90 yards against Air Force. Guys that are going to be flying jets, not playing defensive back, and he threw for 90 yards.
See, that's the thing, though, because while Josh Allen went 8th with basically off his tools, because there wasn't a ton of production in college, like, Tyree Jackson, when he's played, like, I don't see that 90-yard game that we saw from... Josh Allen. Like, his 211, 193, 184, 145, 313, 406, 350, 290. Like, this guy had monster games. And it wasn't a great competition. It's the MAC. But that's kind of the same thing we saw from Josh Allen. So that's why I wonder, especially if next year's not supposed to be a great quarterback class, and the year after that, who knows? Like, if he comes out and he puts up huge numbers, I don't know how much the small school thing will hurt him, because how much did it hurt Josh Allen? Not a ton. He didn't have good stats. He still ended up going 8th overall. Carson Wentz was small school. He had great production. He went 2nd. So, right, first might be a stretch, but I think maybe it might be more because the draft class isn't as good, where I could see a team going, oh, yeah, this guy's 6'7". He put up huge numbers. He can throw it a mile, and he's going to run a 4.5. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a team that just goes, all right, we'll pick him first.
So it's partially the small school thing, and the other part of it, too, is the offense. Like, some of the college offenses don't really translate too well to the NFL. That's, okay, like, well, you could see, not really the most modern example, but, like, 10 years ago at Texas Tech, with Michael Crabtree as his top wide receiver, Graham Harrell threw for, like, 4,000 yards in 12 games and went undrafted and spent, like, 2 years as a backup to Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. So there are a lot of these guys that are hyper productive in college that just that's going to be the best they ever are. They don't actually have the physical tools, though Jackson does. It's just I don't know. Maybe it's just me growing up in Buffalo and thinking of 0-12 UB losing to Stony Brook. You know what I mean? And, as opposed to right. what really could be. This is really a golden era for UB athletics in general. Their basketball programs, both the men and women, have been super strong. Their football team has a bright future. Like, it's a really good time to get invested in college sports around here.
Good stuff. That's Nick Lozanowski. I'm Joe DiBiase. I'm down at Harbor Center. Nick's at the WGR Studios in Amherst. We'll take a timeout here. When we come back, you will hear from Steve Tasker's son, CFL wide receiver Luke Tasker. Get a little update on what's going on up in Canada. Johnny Manziel, when is this guy going to play? I want to see this guy play already for the Hamilton Ticats. He's being benched for Jeremiah Masoli at the moment, who you might remember went to Oregon.
It's another one of those college guys.
And Ole Miss, right?
Oh, yeah.
Another college guy. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back with that. And then we'll also hear from Lorenzo Alexander in the second hour, too. He was on with One Bills Live as well. It's all coming your way next. It's the Nightcap with Joe DiBiase, Nick Lozanowski. I'm down at Harbor Center. Thanks for listening. It's WGR. I am here at Harbor Center live. I wanted to talk about a little World Cup in the last segment, so we'll do a little bit of that here before we get to Luke Tasker, and then after that, Lorenzo Alexander. Third place game, I think it's dumb. I don't think it should exist. I don't think anybody's going to watch it. I don't think anybody should watch it. I don't think the team should care. I don't know why it exists. But Belgium and England play Saturday at 10 a.m. So I guess you could bet on it if you wanted. Speaking of that, I had, placed some friendly wager on Croatia to win the entire tournament before the World Cup started. And I'm on a roll because I had the Capitals the same thing, and they won the cup. They're a win away. They play France. They're an underdog. Gotta love those jerseys. The checkerboard, I hope they're wearing them. Have they even been wearing them this World Cup? I don't know if I've seen them. Actually, I think I've seen them once. They weren't like the full-on checkerboard jerseys, though. If you don't know what I'm talking about, it's just, they look like a 50s diner. Their jerseys do.
They are supposed to wear them for Sunday's final, and France is supposed to wear all blue.
Thank you. I feel that's perfect. That's literally perfect. Fox is probably this World Cup went as bad as it could have for Fox. They didn't get the U.S. That hurt ratings. Messi got eliminated in the group stage. That probably hurt ratings. Not having a superstar. Ronaldo got eliminated kind of early. They missed out on an Argentina-Portugal game between Ronaldo and Messi that probably would have increased ratings. They don't get that. The final, England-France, would have been probably a big draw. They don't get that. They get Croatia. This World Cup, from Fox's standpoint, I feel like has probably gone as bad as it possibly could have gone. All right. That's about all I got for you in the World Cup. Let's go to Luke Tasker now. He is CFL player, and I had the team in front of me for which team, and I don't have it now. And there it is, Hamilton Ticats, a teammate of Johnny Football, Johnny Manziel, East Aurora native, son of Steve Tasker, 27 years old, CFL All-Star too. He joined One Bills Live earlier today. Let's hear from that, Luke Tasker, on One Bills Live right here on WGR.